just a few seconds. Hello and welcome. We're here on episode number 7 on Upskilled and Fully Equipped. I am your show host, Amber Castillo Wilson, the founder of Upskill for Life. I'm excited to have on my show today a guest. My second guest of the show is Gloria Medrano. And so today we're going to be speaking on living in purpose. And so I invited her to come, and we both live locally here in San Diego, and she's moving and shaking here on various areas here in San Diego, as well as online, which we'll get to in a little bit and share where you can find her. But in the meantime, we're just gonna go through some questions I prepared and kind of probing a little bit more into what living in purpose looks like and how it looks like for different people. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different seasons that we go to and through. And that whole aspect of sometimes we don't understand what living in purpose looks like, especially if we're suffering with some kind of health, compromised health issue, or if we're just so stressed and bombarded with the various aspects of life, right? That we're like, Lord, why am I even here? I'm suffering, I'm in pain, I hurt, I don't feel good. But when all of that is, settled down and you seek Him for healing and He puts divine people in your pathway for that purpose of healing and to helping you get through and give you that hand up, then sometimes that whole aspect of divine purpose comes into play, and that destiny that He has sought out for you way before, you know, our parents even knew that we were going to be conceived. So even at the time of the creation of Earth. So I've invited her to share with us what that looks like for her and her journey in discovering what living in purpose looks like. So thank you for being on the show today. I appreciate your attendance and creating time on your busy schedule. And so I just want to dive into a first question. I mean, if there's you want to introduce yourself real quick, you can. Go for it.
Sure. Well, no, my name is Gloria Medrano, and I have a podcast. It's called Heart of the City, San Diego, and that's, you'll find me in various places around the city, interviewing small business owners and ministry leaders and things like that. And I just really enjoy it and have a great time encouraging my city and being that light that shines everywhere I go, pretty much.
And you are local, born here in San Diego?
I am. I'm a native San Diego. I am born and raised.
That's not very often that you find born and raised San Diegans. Yes. So she's a diamond in more than one aspect. But anyway, let's go ahead and jump into these questions here. And in your opinion, what does it look like for you? What can define what divine purpose is, or what does living in purpose look like for you?
For me, I think it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So I think, you know, we don't know our purpose until we know Jesus first. Mm-hmm. So I can only speak for me.
Sure.
So I'll turn that back to, you know, my experience. When I was just a little girl, about 5 years old, mm-hmm. I felt a pull towards God. Mm-hmm. I know it probably came from a praying grandma. I know we all have somebody who was praying for us. Mm-hmm. I know my mama prayed. I was walking on her and she'd be praying. And let's say, you know, I want to drink her sweet, really milky sweet coffee, and so I love that she'd pray because I get to sneak her coffee. And, you know, and I did, just through the years, I felt that pull, mm-hmm. you know, towards God, but I didn't know that there was a pull towards God. I felt a pull mm-hmm. towards a spiritual something, mm-hmm. and was later on in my growing up years that, you know, I had some different experiences along the way that could only be a divine experience with God, with Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's nice. The aspect of just at a young age to have that, you know, my previous guest, the same thing, it's kind of like around 4 years old, she expressed. And so for you, it was around 5. So yeah. I find that fascinating that sometimes just even knowing at such a young age, like we don't really know what that looks like at the time because we're young and we don't have that much experience of life and be like, oh yeah, that was the call from Jesus, you know, until we get more, you know, grown up and especially mature in the Word too.
Yes.
Then we can identify it and look back and be like, oh, that's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unique that it was at such a young age.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because my next question was, you know, where, how and when did you discover your purpose? So it kind of sounds like it was around that age.
Yeah.
And so, you know, were there any seasons that you had to go through or kind of weed through in order to, you know, pursue, you know, what do you define as, what is Gloria's purpose? What do you think your purpose is here?
Well, I want to go back a little bit.
Yes.
So at the age of 5, I don't think I knew what a purpose was.
Okay, sure.
But I knew that there was a spiritual something happening.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't explain it. You're just a little girl, so you just don't know what's happening. You just know that you just love the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel compelled to that, right? And it wasn't until later, you know, in my years where I was older, I was about 18, and I had a really... That was three different really audible experiences through the Holy Spirit. This last one
mm-hmm.
was going to really change my life. You know, so I heard an audible voice.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in foster care at this point. Lots of things in
sure.
between, and I was sitting on my bed all alone. No one told me about Jesus. I knew of him. I didn't know what that meant. But a voice came to me,
mm-hmm.
as I said, as I called upon him, and mm-hmm. I said, God, where are you? Almost angry.
Mm-hmm.
Why
sure.
aren't you here? Where are you? And with an audible voice, he said, Gloria, there's only one God, and that is the God in heaven. So that I could understand what
mm-hmm.
that meant.
Sure.
And I knew that I was going to be, from that point on a search to find what that meant. And I met a young man. It's going to make me emotional because I love God so much.
Yes.
But, you know, God brings people at certain times in your life
yes.
to take you to that next step.
Mm-hmm.
So I met a young man and he told me about Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what my journey into going to church and becoming a Christian and then later on becoming a missionary to London.
Wow. That's
yeah.
incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So just to reflect back a little bit, so then... You had a couple occurrences with an audible voice, and so it was around at 18 that you heard that third one.
Yeah.
And so at what point did you, how old were you when you got saved?
So I was 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had that experience first with Jesus or with God or some audible
yeah.
kind of spiritual voice, like
yeah.
where is this coming from, not really knowing that relationship aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 19, but prior to that, a gentleman introduced you to Jesus. And then from that point, you have accepted him into your life at 19.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So then as far as, you know, knowing, as far as becoming a missionary and, you know, promoting around the city and, you know, encouraging people,
yeah.
how did that come about? Was there something that was like, did it just kind of come in? I mean, usually things like this come naturally, right?
Yeah.
So at what point were you like, okay, yes, this is my purpose. This is what I'm supposed to do. Like, how did that connect for you? Like, was there a moment that just was like, you know what, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm running, and this
yep.
is what God created me for, and I'm going.
Yep, nope. I had a sense of the things that I loved to do, which was, you know, being an encouragement to
mm-hmm.
other people, lifting them up and putting them forward. I was, you know, a competitive boxer for a little short little minute. And I didn't go pro or anything
sure.
because I was wanting to nurture people.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know? Not beat them up.
No. I mean, you know, I wanted to get them and say, oh no, if you do this way, it'd be way better. You
mm-hmm.
know, keep
sure.
your hands up this way. And, you know, you won't get hit. Duck this
yeah.
way. So, you know, I wanted to be more, that was my natural element to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, you know, found Jesus, started going to church,
mm-hmm.
and I served faithfully in a church. And so through serving faithfully in a church, one thing led to another. I was in the punk rock scene, you know, before I knew Jesus and things, and, you know, had a passion and a love for England through that music, that punk rock kind of scene. And, you know, I was in a lot of states. I was a Chola as well. So. For those of you listening to London, that's like this, you know, Hispanic, Latina, you know, gangster. but I, you know, I found myself, you know, in serving in a church and using that kind of gifting that I already had. You know, serving, teaching a Bible study and watching it grow. Teaching a Bible study, watching it grow. Releasing people and, you know, showing that, proving that that gift was relevant here in serving in my local church before I went overseas. But, you know, a lot of things happened in between that, and I found myself broken in another church and was minding my own business, like I say to, you know, all the time of my life. I was just minding my own business and didn't tell anyone the wanting to go to England, the feeling of that God has spoke to us. And there were prophecies actually over us, over me.
To go to England
as well, but we didn't tell anyone. But our pastor one day, a man came and preached, and he preached a message on daring to dream again.
Yes,
and I said, I'm going to dream again.
Yes,
I'm gonna fight through this. And so here I was broken, and I'm fighting through this. And our pastor comes and he sits behind us, and he whispers while the man's preaching, there's a church in England, and they're looking for someone.
Wow!
Yeah, that was a big wow.
Right, that wasn't God speaking.
Yes.
So before you went on that, I mean, it sounded like there was some kind of deterrent or some kind of something that was kind of derailing you. Maybe it was a fear or something like that. What were some of those obstacles that kept you from pursuing that purpose, or kept you from pursuing the destiny that God has called you in during that time? Like, what was trying to derail you? Was it like thoughts, like fear? Was it someone who's saying, oh, you know what, honey, probably not, or, you know, all
exactly.
Like that, all of it,
all of those things. And they had to happen because it's a big transition to leave one home and create another home.
Well,
especially,
and not only to
other countries.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. It's like, not, we're just not talking moving down the street. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the country. Yeah,
yeah.
So that's huge.
Yeah, so God had to build this faith. He had to show us and prove to us that, or me, in each transition of hardship, could be someone saying, you know, you're just not it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't got what it takes, or, you know, whatever that might be. And that fear grips you, especially when it's somebody who's a leader,
right?
And you look up to them, or you think, you know, wow, they have power over me, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
it can come in parents too. Parents can say that, well, you know, sweetheart, you know, I don't think that's, you know, whatnot. It could be another peer, but especially from a leader in the church, it could be, you know, suffocating.
Yeah. So someone that you think in your mind that has power over you, really like it, look up to them, and then they say something that is like a definite, you definitely cannot do this or that or whatever. So it's really a shock to your system, and you have to find in your word where it says that no one can say what is permanent over you except for Jesus, except for God himself.
Right, definitely, because he set that purpose in you.
Yeah. Now, we do have leaders that we listen to their direction, and they're building us and training us. But definite things, no.
Mm-hmm.
Not definite things. So I went back to a class that I took some years back, and it was how to overcome lies, and the way that those lies stop you. So it was somewhat of a Christian self-development thing, and I took that for a long time. I poured that into my heart,
yes,
for a long, long time. And I addressed the lies one at a time, that said, you know, Gloria, you're just so different to everyone else. You're never going to fit in. You know? And Gloria, you are just too shy. Or Gloria, you don't speak good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't speak correct grammar.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Or, you know, just those things.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and Dad don't want you to do something like,
mm-hmm,
that kind of thing, you,
mm-hmm,
know. But it was, I was just minding my own business again, and had a dream, and in the dream, I was awakened, and in my awake state, I was looking around the room, and I heard the audible voice again saying to me, Gloria, Gloria, and I was like, where is this coming from? Why does this keep happening to me? And that voice said to me, it said, Isaiah 41:10. It says,
mm,
so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be,
yes,
dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I didn't know what all that meant.
Sure.
I know there are things that you just don't know why that happens to you.
Right.
And, you know, some you kind of try to get derailed by trying to search why,
mm-hmm,
get into the spiritual mode.
Sure.
When we just need to just trust God and His Word and what He says to us. And what is He constantly saying to us?
Mm-hmm.
He's constantly saying what? Fear not.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's always
direct command.
Again and again and again.
Yes.
Why? Because we're human. We do,
yes,
get afraid.
Absolutely.
We are fearful.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he tells us to trust Him. Do not,
mm-hmm,
be dismayed. Don't get, you know, distracted, discouraged. And then He reminds us that He's going to strengthen us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, definitely. That's fantastic. Thank you. So where you're at right now, and with the gifts and talents that God has placed in you, how is that playing into what you are building or feeding or growing now? What does that look like for you? You know, whether it be in ministry or in business or, you know, personal, what is it that you're building right now that through your gifts and talents and your purpose?
So right now, I do a podcast,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I lead ministry and things, but I started off coming back from England and starting all over again. And boy, do I know what it's like to start all over again. and so I took all of what God was saying, you know, in His Word, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, and I just started to go over one at a time, one at a time. And I was on social media, Facebook Live,
mm-hmm,
just came into existence. And I seen it and it clicked and I said, I can do something with that. And I wanted to share my journey kind of in a real way, but in a,
mm-hmm,
respectful way.
Sure.
That ended with hope,
mm-hmm,
to everyone, and that was relatable.
Yes.
I didn't really see many people sharing kind of a real story of transition and bringing hope.
Mm. Right, because there's some yucky stuff that we have to go through.
Oh,
and
yeah,
sometimes when we see people on video or on, you know, in person, we get to see the other side of them, but
yeah,
we didn't see, get, you know, what they had to live through in order to get to that.
Yeah.
And life does get mucky, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we have to trudge through,
yeah,
pray through, cry through.
Yes.
We need help and support from others.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, the realness that I appreciate that you bring,
yes,
you know, with that.
Yeah, so I just started practicing alive, and I was terrified. And if they, if
you're like, nope, I'm going to stand on, do not fear.
When I go back and I look at them, they're horrible. They're just, you know, all,
sure,
you know, not good. And I seen someone demonstrate what it looks like to have kind of this show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they invited me on their show, and I had a friend, pastor friend, that was on the show. And I was following my pastor friend around and, you know, commenting on this,
mm-hmm,
this show, this person who was doing interviews. And then know, they called me out. You know, they said, you're coming on my show, this is this buff guy, you know, and I'm like, what am I gonna say? So I just went, my Latina side kicked in. We don't back down. So I went through with it, scared at all. Yeah. And I intentionally held back information. This is kind of my cheeky little sneaky mischievous side that I have. I think we all have a side. I know I do.
Yeah.
But I held back intentional information because you have to send a bio in.
Mm.
And I wanted there to be this real element to the show that I brought that no one knew about.
Sure.
Knew about me.
Yeah.
You know, and I never really shared my testimony in the churches that I was in because I was really very like, everybody's sharing that same thing. What another one of me out there and share that same thing. And I didn't feel that I wanted there to be a uniqueness to it. And so I went on the show and I was sharing and we just had a great conversation. Next thing you know, it's like 2 weeks later and people are trying to add me on my personal page, thousands and thousands. So it maxed out to 5,000 like in 2 weeks.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, so just that authenticity, resonates to where, you're going with your podcast and, what you're doing with your Facebook Lives and stuff like that. So, and that's what we need, there's enough of the fake news and fake this and fake that, it's just like, let's just be real, it's like, I don't know what more to say to that other than, just being real.
Yeah. And another thing is that I felt like there was going to be a need for, because of the fakeness and people only showing, their good side on camera and this new camera world, today. I thought, ooh, that's going to be a little bit dangerous for others coming behind, because now it's just, now I got to have a fake this, and I got to have a fake that, and I got to go for, Botox here, and this and that. That's not real.
Yeah, no, right.
That's really dangerous.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I felt like I wanted to be, that mama, maybe not mama, maybe friend, maybe sister. Or something.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
But I wanted to be, just that person, that mentor.
I'm real friend.
Yeah, on camera.
Definitely. That's awesome. So let's see, the time that we have left, let me address another question here. So if you were not able to express yourself in the gifts and talents that he's given you and to, trudge forth with your purpose, like, what would you experience? Like, what could you imagine if you were not able to live in your divine purpose and you were not able to express your gifts and your talents? What would that look like for someone who's maybe stuck or someone who's, I have this gift and I know I have this talent, but what,
I think the biggest lesson that anyone can learn is just to be. Just to sit still and be. Don't try to make it happen. Don't try to, a lot of times we're trying to pursue something that possibly isn't the direction of what God wants you to do, because at that moment, it's the process that we need to learn.
Sure.
So
all and the timing and all that too.
Yeah, the timing. But if I would have jumped that process of, learning to transition or going through hardship and all of that, it would have been too traumatizing to go from one country to another country and to know how to feel my way out and to know how that feels, the traumatic part of what that feels like, and that God is going to see me through this anyway.
Right. Go ahead. Finish.
So yeah, I would say, to just be and just do what it needs to be done in your sphere of influence, right where you are. It might be your sphere of influence, might be your children, it might be, taking care of your husband, it might be extended to, the people that come to your home, it might be a Bible study, maybe it's not a Bible study, maybe it's just that, you're going to the women's country club or whatever
sure.
you do. And that is your area of where you could be that blossom or that light in that place. And
definitely.
From there, you will grow from there.
Absolutely.
That's
and,
so true.
And stay in a church that you're going to grow in.
Get fed
yeah.
into. Yeah. So definitely just hearing that, you know, where you are right now today doesn't mean it's going to be forever and that you just have to keep trudging through,
yeah.
even when it's mucky, to, you know, get to that divine destiny. So just let our viewers know and our listeners know, where can they find you? What are your social media handles? Do you have a website?
I do
Where
have
can they follow you?
You know, if you just Google my name, Gloria Medrano,
mm-hmm.
You can find me just by Googling my name.
Okay.
But it also you can also Google Heart of the City San Diego, and you can find me through that as well. Then you can find my website on the different places, podcast or ministry areas.
Perfect. And then do you have a particular piece of hope you want to leave with our viewers or listeners, or a particular scripture to leave them hope with?
Yeah, Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10.
Go ahead and reiterate that
and
so
read it
we can
again
be reminded. We need to like repetitively just like ingrain this.
Yes, because we do fear, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's the, you know, we live in this world. We know we got the corona virus
yeah.
going on, and
all
people are like
stuff,
overbuying
yeah.
and things.
Right.
You know, when I was in England, it was the other things. You know, I forget what it was, but they had the truckers had barricaded the M25, and people couldn't get to the M25 to get to work or anything. I think it was some kind of a government thing with the truckers, yeah. But Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Trust in that, you guys. Trust in that and go through the process, whatever that process is looking like.
Yep, awesome. Well, I think that's some good advice, and definitely awesome to leave. Hopefully that leaves you with some hope in any event. So wherever you're at, if it's looking a little murky, just know that there is, you're not done yet. He's not done working with you. So.